Oh, well, it's lovely to be with you on this beautiful morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I've got Jackie Herneman here, who's just in eyeshot, if you're on Zoom. Hope you've got your order of service sheets, and let's begin. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us open our hearts and minds and our eyes to see the generous gifts of God and respond with praise and thanksgiving. Gracious God, for all you have poured out upon us, we give you thanks. For your word that has inspired and fed your people, for those who had vision to record it, skill to translate it, and presence to share it, we give you thanks. For your love that has surrounded and enfolded us, that has given us joy, confirmed our faith, nurtured our love, and given us enduring hope in the gift of the promise of eternal life. We give you thanks. To you be all praise and glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of God has dawned upon the world through our Saviour Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us to purify a people as his own. Let us confess our sins. Lord Jesus Christ, We come to you in sorrow for our selfishness, in regret for our greed, in despair over our blindness and deafness to the needs of those around us. With penitent hearts, we seek your forgiveness and your blessing to make us more generous, more giving, more able to see, and more willing to listen. Amen. Our God of generosity forgives those who truly repent. Our God lifts the burden from our hearts and the blindness from our eyes and sets us free to be the people we are called to be. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God.
And the first reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we turn now to our psalm. Psalm 62. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in exhaustion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And the second reading is from Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 38. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for a show, make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. As you probably know by now, I love a good story. Some stories in the Bible are so rich and detailed, and some are the complete opposite, sparse on detail, just going to the heart of the matter. And that's the type of story we have in today's gospel reading. I hadn't read it for a long time, and I was pleased to be reminded of it. I told it to the children at Rackenford School on Wednesday, but I must admit that I embellished the detail just a bit. There are times when you read the Bible and you wish you knew a little bit more. This passage follows directly after the scribe in last week's gospel reading was commended for his faith and his insight. So much so, Jesus told him that he was not far from the kingdom of God. Today's story is set in the temple precincts. Here there are scribes and other important people, but there are also the destitute. Imagine the scene. Jesus takes his position and watches people as they make their donations to the temple. These donations would have been over and above the tithe, the 10% giving, and the temple tax. And Jesus doesn't just watch, he comments too. He notices those who like to be seen, sitting in the best seats, wearing grand clothes, greeting the right sort of people. Well, a lot of us like to be noticed and respected by others, but there are some who go out of their way to achieve this. When it is those in positions of religious leadership who behave in this way, it is particularly inappropriate. The pattern of outward show combined with inner corruption is an occupational hazard of religious professionals, now as much as then. Beware of the scribes, Jesus tells his followers. They devour widows' houses and, for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. Their piety, in other words, is a sham. They are hypocrites, and the religious institution they govern is corrupt, not in any way reflective of the God the psalmist calls a father of orphans and protector of widows. You can imagine all those rich, important, religious people dropping their coins into the offering box with an extravagant flourish. So it's a relief to turn to someone quite the opposite, someone who has absolutely no desire to be noticed and would have been as surprised as Jesus' disciples must have been if she had heard what Jesus said to them about her. She was a person of no importance, and she knew it. We don't even know her name. Now, there's a detail I would like to know. But she loved God, and she gave the little that she had to him. As far as I can tell from reading the Gospels, Jesus wasn't given to exaggeration, although there is a bit of hyperbole in some of his parables. If he says the woman gave everything she had, well, she gave everything she had. We know she was a widow in first century Palestine, a woman living on the margins of her society. She had no safety net, no husband to advocate for her, no pension to draw from, no social status to hide behind. She gave two copper coins, probably a lepton, which was a Jewish coin worth about 1/128 of a denarius, which was a day's wage for a labourer. If I'm getting the timing right, Jesus died 4 days after the events of this story, and I wonder if the widow did too. Consider again what Jesus said about her as she left the temple that day. She, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. The Greek word behind all she had to live on is bios, from which we derive biology. It means life. In other words, the widow sacrificed her whole life. If you read the account carefully to the end, it's interesting to note that Jesus doesn't commend the widow or applaud her or invite us to do the same as her. Jesus simply notices her and tells his disciples to do the same. I would love to hear the tone of Jesus' voice and the expression on his face when he says, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box." In other words, don't look at the rich and famous as they make their way to the treasury. Look at her. Look at that poor widow. Jesus notices the widow. He sees what everyone else is too busy, too grand, too spiritual, too self-absorbed to see. Jesus notices the weak and the vulnerable, the broken in spirit, the invisible and the forgotten. I think Jesus noticed the woman's courage as she gave her insignificant gift alongside those who had fistfuls of money. I think Jesus noticed her dignity. She was a widow and therefore worthless. I think Jesus noticed that her tiny gift, which had the least monetary value, was the most valuable in God's eyes. Perhaps Jesus also noticed that she and he had something in common. She had given everything she had, and he was about to do the same. Amen.
Amen. And now we come to the intercessions. God of all creation, you ask us to care and not to destroy, to share and not to abuse what you have given to us. You ask us to cherish the earth, not to abuse it, and to use earth's resources fairly and not to waste them. Forgive our failures and renew our commitment. God of all creation,
may we use your gifts wisely and care for the earth.
Generous God, you have placed us in community, in our churches, families, schools, and neighborhoods, where we learn that we are stronger together. You created people in your image, so amazing and capable of so much that is good, yet also capable of going, choosing the wrong thing. Give us ears to listen to one another, hearts to care for each other's pain, and hands ready to heal the hurts of our world. May your spirit of truth and justice lead the way to a more compassionate, a more equal and simpler way of life. God of all creation,
may we use your gifts wisely and care for the earth.
Generous God, you give us all that we need for life. May we learn to live with the same generosity that you show to us, using resources for our need and not our greed, and offering what we can to improve the lives of people who struggle. Give us and our world leaders generosity of spirit. May we begin to see that we share one home and that our actions can improve or damage life chances for others. God of all creation,
may we use your gifts wisely and care for the earth.
Generous God, you count the hairs on our head and care for the smallest of the creatures on earth. May we live as though our days belong to you, using the gifts of our time and our talents to serve our neighbour and make a difference in the world. May we hear the cry of those in pain. We place into your hands people who are ill, and we ask for your healing for Jack, Jen, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Morris, Ron, Gordon, Sally, Richard, Marion, Camilla, Brenda, and Mary. And we pray for the families and friends of those recently bereaved: Anne Longbottom, Dennis Parsons, and Mrs. Penny. May we also pay attention to the cry of our earth for healing, and the fears of the people in areas most at risk, including Lagos in Nigeria, Yemen, Haiti, United Arab Emirates, Manila in the Philippines, Kiribati, Japan, the Netherlands, India, and Sri Lanka, and so many more. We hold the peoples of these areas in our hearts, together with the hopes and dreams of children and young people. God of all creation,
may we use your gifts wisely and care for the earth.
And the collect for the third Sunday before Advent. Almighty Father, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority, and bring the families of the nations divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin to be subject to his just and gentle rule, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And we say the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle us in the faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with us always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us again this morning. Thank you, Jackie.
No problem.
Thank you very much indeed. We hope you have a lovely day. Just a few notices. The coffee morning this week returns to Zoom. But I think the coffee morning at the golf club was a great success. I think well over 30 people were there. So put that in your diary for the first Wednesday of next month, which I understand it will be at the golf course again, not at Bickley Mill, but at the golf course, if you want to join in with that. And our Bible study continues on Wednesday evening, either on Zoom or the conference call. You're very welcome to come. And please do come and join me for lunch here at the rectory on the 19th of November. Bread and soup and a pud and the chance to have a chat. It would be great to see you here if you are free. And we hope you have a lovely week and a lovely day, don't we, Jackie?
Yes, we do.
We do. Yes. And so until we meet again, oh, John won't be in church today. No. Well, I'm sure there are services going on all over the place. And actually next week, of course, is remembrance. But I will be doing a shortened form of remembrance here, giving me enough time to leg it to Lockspear so, for 10 to 11. So do either join us here or in your local church where we will have an act of remembrance together, or come twice if you like. Anyway, love to you all and God bless. Bye-bye.